Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Staying Healthy with Vitamins and Oral Supplements conference call. Your host, Michelle Lennox, will now begin.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Again, my name is Michelle Lennox. I'm the Senior Manager of Education and Community Outreach at the New York City Southern New York Chapter, and I will be moderating the conference this evening. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Tonight's conference call is the final one in our six-part series, which began in October of 2011. If you enjoy tonight's call, please feel free to contact your local chapter to register for the upcoming and new Fall 2012 teleconference series. On October 21st, we are offering a call on the top 10 MS questions. This call will address the most common questions and concerns facing individuals newly diagnosed with MS. On October 28th, we will go over invisible symptoms. On this call, we'll learn how to successfully manage the invisible symptoms of MS, such as pain, fatigue, and cognitive issues. And on December 12th, our program will be MS, A Family Affair, where we will learn about effective ways family members can communicate and implement strategies for coping with everyday challenges. So just a couple housekeeping details. All our participants are on muted lines. Our speaker this evening will be presenting, and then there will be a Q&A period at the end of the call. So please jot down your questions and save them until the end. The operator will explain how to queue up if you have a question you would like to ask at that time. Once you ask your question, you will be placed back on mute to facilitate us getting to as many questions as possible. At the end of the call, there will be a brief five-question survey. So please stay on the line with us and participate in the survey, as your responses to this program are very important to us, and we are very interested in your feedback for planning future programs. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to present our guest speaker this evening, Patricia Melville. Patricia Melville is a nurse practitioner and clinical nurse specialist at the MS Comprehensive Center, a comprehensive care center at Stony Brook University on Long Island. She oversees clinical care for adult MS patients and is responsible for the development and community outreach and patient education programs. In addition, Patricia oversees the recruitment and enrollment of patients into clinical trials. She has co-authored and contributed to several neurological publications, including but not limited to topics on cognition, brain atrophy, and cerebral injury, fatigue, clinical trial results, and epidemiology related to multiple sclerosis. Patricia is the president-elect of the Long Island Multiple Sclerosis Nurses Society and is also an active member of the Professional Advisory Committee at the Long Island Chapter. So, Pat, please begin.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Michelle, and thank you for inviting me, and thank you all for calling in. I think this is a very exciting topic, and I'm really very thrilled to be able to talk to you all tonight about that. I did send an outline out. I'm guessing that many of you got that. So we'll kind of go through, the order of things, and then I'd like to leave a lot of time at the end for questions. I'll try to answer your questions as best I can. This is not going to be exhaustive about every possible mineral and supplement and vitamin that's out there, because we would be on the call from now until next September. But we'll kind of cover the top ones. And again, we'll certainly take questions at the end. So vitamins, minerals, herbs and supplements fall under the category of what we call CAM, or complementary and alternative therapy, or complementary and alternative medicine. And the difference between complementary and alternative is just exactly what it says. Complementary meaning that herbs and minerals and vitamins and supplements are used in addition to your standard medical care. Alternative would be in place of. And the one thing that I always think bears talk or bears mention at any kind of discussions about this is that the regulation of vitamins and herbs and supplements is not as tightly regulated as it is with, current medications. The FDA has very limited oversight of these kinds of supplements. So you really do want to be a very active and educated consumer. There are some websites that I listed on that outline at the very bottom of the page. By all means, please, take a look at those. They're all very good websites. They all have search engines where you can type in, information. There is again, a lot of information that's out there, but a lot of it is not been tested. So you really want to be, again, a very cautious consumer before you, you know, just start taking herbs and supplements. These are not, because they may be termed natural, doesn't mean that they're not without a certain amount of risk. With that, we'll go into our discussion about vitamins. So, again, just before we go into the main topic of tonight, which is going to be vitamin D, I just want to mention to you that there is a difference between water-soluble and fat-soluble vitamins. Water-soluble vitamins are excreted or passed through the urine. Fat-soluble vitamins are vitamins that are stored in our fat or in our liver and our tissues. And there's more risk of toxicity with fat-soluble vitamins than there is with water-soluble vitamins. So with that said, let's talk about vitamin D. So vitamin D is really the star of any discussion about supplements in MS. There's been a tremendous amount of research with vitamin D in MS. Some of this research dates back into the 1990s when they actually looked at vitamin D in mice with a condition called EAE, which sort of is like a mouse MS. And they found that vitamin D really was inhibitive, or really inhibited the development of EAE in mice. Since then, there's been a tremendous amount of work done with vitamin D and MS. Most recently, there were several studies published in the journal Neurology just this past summer. And these studies were small. One study was with 73 patients. This was done over in the Netherlands. They followed patients for about 1.5 years. And what they found is that vitamin D, serum vitamin D level, so your blood vitamin D level being in a normal range or even a high normal. So the normal range on vitamin D is about 30 to 100. So a high vitamin D level being approximately 50 or so showed was associated with a decreased rate of relapse. So this ultimately showed a beneficial effect of vitamin D on disease course. There was another study done, also published in the journal Neurology, also this past summer. This also was done in Scandinavia, and this was looking at 88 relapsing remitting patients. And what they did is they looked at vitamin D as an add-on to interferon beta treatment. And what they found is that, again, vitamin D seemed to decrease the risk of new lesions on the MRI. So these were two very strong studies that really, even though they were with small numbers, they really showed a definitive benefit with vitamin D. Now, vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin, so you really have to be careful. You don't want to just go overboard with the amount of vitamin D that you take. It's something that should be measured with a very simple blood test. It's present in some foods, not a lot, fatty fish, salmon, and tuna, for example. Also, milk is also fortified with vitamin D. Many breakfast cereals are fortified with vitamin D. It's produced when you're in the sunshine. When the UV rays from the sun strike the skin, that triggers vitamin D synthesis. Vitamin D also is helpful for promoting calcium absorption and is very important for maintaining our serum calcium levels, which, of course, is in turn important for our bone health. Vitamin D has some anti-inflammatory properties. Generally speaking, we want to keep the levels in the, again, sort of a 40, high 40s to low 50 kind of range is where we're comfortable. Levels, once you start approaching the higher end, could be associated with too much calcium absorption, which in turn can lead to side effects. One of the side effects that it could lead to is kidney stones. Like I said, vitamin D is stored because it's a fat-soluble vitamin in the liver and in the fat. Some of us have more of that than others. Again, a good source of vitamin D is the sun exposure. Certain drugs can interact with vitamin D. For example, some medications that you may take for seizures, or some of those seizure medications some MS patients take for management of pain, Also, some cholesterol medications can interact with vitamin D. So this is something you need to have a discussion with your provider about. You always, whenever you go to your provider, you should always go with a list of your current medications, including any supplements you're taking, whether it be any vitamins or herbs or anything of that nature. It's very important to have that as noted as part of your record and to have that discussion with your provider. There's different types of vitamin D. Generally speaking, what you'll see over the counter, you'll see vitamin D2 and vitamin D3. They are chemically different. Vitamin D3 is thought to be more bioavailable. What that means is it's more easily processed and absorbed. With that said, vitamin D2 can also do the job. If you have a low vitamin D level, it can raise your vitamin D levels. But generally speaking, if you have a choice between taking vitamin D2 or vitamin D3, the D3 might be a better choice. But again, like I say, I always want to, you know, before we move on to B12, I always want to use that caveat, and that is that you always want to discuss this with your provider. You always want to have your levels be checked. Too much of a good thing can be bad. So while we know vitamin D is very good and very important in MS, it really is something that should be monitored and should be looked at. Another vitamin that is important in a neurological disease is vitamin B12. B12 is a water-soluble vitamin, so there's less risk of toxicity with B12 than there is with vitamin D. Vitamin B12 is found in a variety of foods: fish, meat, poultry, eggs, milk, and again, breakfast cereals are very often fortified. Vitamin B12 interacts with intrinsic factor, which is in your gut, and that's how it gets absorbed. People who have vitamin B12 deficiency can have symptoms of fatigue, sometimes weakness, sometimes loss of appetite, sometimes numbness and tingling, cognitive changes such as memory problems, irritability, balance instability, and depression. A lot of the times when a patient presents to a neurology office with symptoms of any neurological dysfunction, and MS is being considered as one of the diagnoses, very often vitamin B12 level will be checked just as a possibility or a rule, what we would call a rule out, to make sure that the symptoms are not indeed indicative of, again, a vitamin B12 deficiency, because, again, B12 deficiency can mimic the symptoms of MS. You need the vitamin B12 for your red blood cells. It's also important in neurological function. It does play a role in myelin formation. And, of course, myelin is the sheath that covers the nerve fibers, and that's what's damaged or what can be damaged in MS. Low vitamin B12, somebody who has a low vitamin B12 may, again, have some of those symptoms that we just spoke about. It also, if a low vitamin B12 level, can impair recovery from a relapse. So generally speaking, keeping your vitamin B12 level up to a normal range is important. There again, something that should be monitored, something that can be tested very simply with a very simple blood test. Again, you don't want to go overboard on any vitamins. You really want to, again, have this discussion with your provider to make sure that your levels are being carefully monitored. If you are going to take vitamin B12 supplements, oftentimes people will take this in a sublingual tablet, meaning something that dissolves underneath the tongue. It's also available in a nasal gel. It also is available via an intramuscular injection. And usually, if you are going to get an IM injection, usually that's something that's given monthly, and usually you can go to your doctor's office and they usually can do that for you. Like vitamin D, there are drug interactions with vitamin B12. Some of the medications that some people take for acid indigestion, such as what they call PPIs, proton pump inhibitors, or H2 receptor agonists. So examples of those would be Prilosec or Tagamet or Zantac. So again, B12 can interact with those medications. Metformin is another drug that it can interact with, and certainly that's a medication that's very commonly prescribed for people who have diabetes. when you're checking your vitamin B12 level, usually what your provider is going to do is they're also going to check your folic acid level, because elevated folic acid can interfere or can mask, rather, vitamin B12 deficiency. So it's important to check both of those levels. On the outline, the next step down we have is antioxidants, and I kind of lump those together, vitamin C, vitamin E, and beta-carotene or vitamin A. We'll go through them briefly. Vitamin C is, again, a water-soluble vitamin, so, again, less risk of toxicity. It is an essential dietary component. It's involved in protein metabolism. All of these medications, again, as I said, are antioxidants, and antioxidants act on free radicals, which are chemicals that damage cells. Vitamin C can regenerate other antioxidants in the body, such as vitamin E. It does play a role in immune function. The sources of vitamin C would be a citrus fruit, so, of course, oranges, lemons, limes, tomatoes, and again, also found in fortified cereals. Too much of vitamin C can stimulate the immune system and may not be useful or may actually be harmful in MS, because there's a theoretical risk that any of these supplements which stimulate the immune system can actually in turn stimulate the immune system so much that it could trigger an MS relapse. I can't point to any specific scientific studies to validate that claim, but this is something that, again, is a possibility, and so as a general rule, we discourage mega doses of vitamin C. Vitamin E is also an antioxidant. This is a fat-soluble vitamin. There was a small study done with vitamin E in Alzheimer's disease, and actually the patients who were taking vitamin E had slowed or delayed cognitive deterioration. So that was something that was actually very interesting. Of course, we don't know if this would be useful in MS for patients who do have some cognitive difficulties, which, as many of you on the call may or may not be aware of, that is something that many people experience. Vitamin E is found in nuts and green leafy vegetables. A vitamin E deficiency is very, very rare. It's not something that we see very commonly. Vitamin E can inhibit blood clotting, so sometimes patients who may be going for surgery of one sort or another, elective surgery, a lot of times their surgeons will recommend that they stop that prior to surgery. Also, for patients that may be on blood thinners, such as Coumadin, they also would recommend discontinuing vitamin E. There again, there is a theoretical risk that it can stimulate the immune system, so this is something that, generally speaking, you want to use, you know, with caution. Beta-carotene is another antioxidant. Beta-carotene is also vitamin A. Overuse of beta-carotene can cause skin discoloration, so beta-carotene, of course, when you think about that, you think about carrots. So somebody who eats an awful lot of carrots, or even those of you that are moms, when your babies were little and you were giving them carrots, you probably noticed that they developed a nice kind of orange complexion. Excess supplementation of vitamin A or beta-carotene is not recommended. Generally speaking, if you take just a good multivitamin every day, you'll get more than enough of the vitamin C, vitamin E, and the beta-carotene. You generally don't need to go overboard with either one of those. The next topic on our list here is omega-3 fatty acids or fish oil. These are generally considered to be safe. There was a very small study done about 7 years ago up in Buffalo, New York, at the MS Center up there. They enrolled 31 patients with relapsing MS. They noted that patients that were taking the fish oil had some modest benefit in their quality of life measures. So what they did is they had them fill out questionnaires, and those that were taking the fish oil supplement compared to those that were not taking the fish oil supplement felt as though they were doing a little bit better. There was another study done more recently. This was done in Norway. This time they looked at 92 patients, and they looked at patients taking omega-3 fatty acids and Rebif. And they showed no benefit on the disease course those that were taking the Rebif alone versus those that were taking the Rebif and the omega-3 fatty acids. So it really had no impact or no benefit on the disease course. And when I refer to that, I'm referring to relapse measures or MRIs. There are drug reactions with the fish oil. One of those drug reactions can be with, again, the blood-thinning medications like we spoke about with the vitamin A, Coumadin, Lovenox, Plavix. These would be medications that would be in that category. Certainly they're not harmful, but probably not much in the way of benefit. The last topic on our list here is cranberry supplements. I put that on there because that's something that many of our patients experience, and that is problems with urinary tract infections. And certainly drinking cranberry juice is always an option as well. The issue with cranberry juice, of course, is that it may be somewhat bitter. So people tend to go with the cranberry juice cocktail, which is fine and actually quite delicious, but very high in sugar. So the cranberry tablets or the cranberry supplements are a nice alternative to that. Generally speaking, what the cranberry does is it helps to keep the urine acidic and therefore reduces the frequency of the urinary tract infections. It's something that some people find to be helpful. It's safe. There's no rigorous studies done on cranberry tablets in MS, so I can't, again, point to any scientific data. There's no specific dosage that's recommended or that's established. There, again, it may have some interactions with some of the blood-thinning medications, such as Coumadin. And that's something that, again, you know, you need to be aware of. Once again, just to reiterate what I said, and that is that it's very, very important when you do go to your provider that you make sure you bring a comprehensive list of all of your medications, not just the medications that your MS provider is prescribing for you, but if you have any other medical conditions, make sure your provider is aware of those medications along with the dosages and along with any supplements that you may be taking. I think that really concludes what I was going to say this evening. I think if you, again, do have a copy of that outline, you'll see at the bottom of the page that there are some websites. Two of them are from the NIH. And they're very good. They have, again, a search engine on both of those websites that you can just type in the name of whatever supplement you might be interested in learning about. There also is a website that's run by, which I did not list here, but that's run by Dr. Alan Bowling at the Colorado MS Center, or excuse me, Rocky Mountain MS Center in Colorado. I believe there's a fee to use that website, or I believe there's a registration fee to become a member. I think the fee is rather nominal, but that's another option to go to that website and again to search with the names of some medications that you may be interested in looking up. Again, a lot of these supplements, vitamin D has been studied very extensively in MS. Particularly of late. A lot of these other supplements and vitamins that we've spoken about this evening have not been subjected to rigorous studies. So at this point, we really can't point to any scientific evidence, but we know from looking at the way they work that they may or may not be beneficial. We also know that, again, that there is that theoretical risk that any medication that stimulates the immune system may have potential, maybe potentially harmful in MS. So generally speaking, high doses of any immune-stimulating medications or supplements, I should say, are generally not recommended. I think at this point I will end, and I'll open it up to questions. And I think, do I need to tell the operator that? I think so, correct?
I'm on the line, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your phone. The first question is from April. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to know about using, I take the flaxseed instead of the fish oil for the omega-3, because I was just concerned about, you know, the source of the fish because of, you know, all of the pollution in the ocean. What do you think about flaxseed instead?
That's fine. Again, there hasn't been a lot of rigorous studies. Flaxseed oil is another option in place of the omega-3 fatty acids. Again, generally is considered to be safe. There's not a lot of evidence to support its use in MS. Probably may be useful more for your general health. It may also be helpful for your cholesterol. The omega-3 fatty acids may be useful for that, but probably not, certainly not harmful for the MS, but probably not, you know, not especially helpful.
Okay, the next question is from Phil. Please go ahead.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Good. I'm just trying to find out what you would recommend for the dosage for vitamin B12.
So it really would depend upon what your levels are. Generally speaking, what we do is we check people's levels, and depending upon what the level, the normal range on vitamin B12, and every lab has a slightly different normal range of values, but the normal range on vitamin B12 is about 200 to about 1100. So that's sort of a very wide variation. As a general rule, we generally want to keep patients greater than 400. So for somebody whose level may be, you know, in the 500 or 600 or 700 range, we might just recommend a daily multivitamin, and that would probably be adequate. For somebody whose level might be below 200 or well, let me just even say below 400, we might recommend a supplement of generally about 1,000 micrograms per day. And then we'll check it again in a few months, and if it's come up to, again, above a 400 range, you know, we might recommend then just using a multivitamin. But there again, you'd really want to have your level checked, and you want to discuss it with your provider.
Okay, the next question is from Diane. Please go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Hi, Diane. Thank you.
I have a question on CoQ10, and is it okay to take your vitamins in the gummy bear?
Right. It doesn't matter whichever way you take your vitamins. If it's more palatable for you, or if it's easier to take the gummy vitamins versus the regular, you know, tablets. Some people do get some kind of indigestion with taking the vitamin tablets. Sometimes taking it at night is useful because then it doesn't bother you as much. But no problem with that at all. There's been no studies with CoQ10 in MS. It might be helpful for you for your general health, but not doesn't really play a role in MS.
The next question is from Virginia. Please go ahead.
Yes, I read that the krill oil was good for patients with MS. Do you know anything about that?
You know, I'm not aware of that. There again, this would be an option, or this would be a good idea to probably, again, become an educated consumer, go to those websites that's listed in the outline, and make sure that you do some, you know, good research. You know, there's a lot of one of the concerns is that, you know, these supplements, again, have not gone through this vigorous FDA testing, and so and they aren't regulated. So a manufacturer might have very good intentions and may put labeling on their product, whether it be you know, good or bad, and it really hasn't. They really don't have any scientific studies to support that. So you really want to be very, very careful before you take anything. So I would suggest researching that. Also, you have to be careful when you're reading things, whether it be on the internet or whatever it may be. You know, sometimes people are posting things, and you really need to verify the sources and, again, discuss that with your provider.
Okay, the next question is from Jennifer. Please go ahead.
Hi, yeah. My question is, I take primrose oil and Super B, and I was taking a Kai Berry supplement, and I wondered what your thoughts were on those.
Again, you know, probably not a problem. I think, you know, the Super B is probably fine. The berry and the, what was the other one you said? Oh, the primrose oil. Again, you know, not any clear scientific studies in MS. So, you know, probably not a problem. But again, whether it's, you know, giving you the benefit in MS, it may be beneficial for you in terms of your general health, but in terms of the MS, probably not especially useful.
Okay, the next question is from Karen. Please go ahead.
Hi, Patricia, how are you?
Good, very good, thank you.
On the cranberry issue,
right?
I heard that the amount of cranberry juice that you have to absorb in your body is not able to be, you'd have to drink bottles and bottles and bottles of it.
Right.
So would you suggest tablets more so? And what milligram would you suggest?
Right. So there is no clear-cut dosage that we would recommend on the cranberry tablets. Certainly, you're right, you would need to drink a lot of cranberry juice. And what you would, in order to get the full benefit from it, you would need to drink the cranberry juice, not the cranberry juice cocktail. The cranberry juice cocktail, of course, is probably much more tasty, but is loaded with sugar. And, you know, then you don't want to run into problems on the other end. So probably the cranberry tablets would be useful. Generally speaking, following whatever the label says, cranberry tablets you can get at any local pharmacy. You don't need to go to any exotic places. There is a prescription cranberry tablets that are available. If that's something that you suffer with, you know, you could discuss that with your provider, or they could even refer you to urology and you could discuss it with them, you know, as a possibility, as a preventative for bladder infections.
Okay, the next question is from Crystal. Please go ahead.
Hello, Pat.
Hi, Crystal.
The cranberry tablets. Is
right.
that something that should be taken every single day? Because that's
yes.
one of my worst symptoms.
Right. So it's something that you would take every single day. And what it does is it's believed to block bacteria from adhering to the walls of the urinary tract. So the reason you would take it every day as a preventative, basically, yeah. So it would be daily.
Okay, the next question is from Robert. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Pat.
Hi.
Are there any supplements which have a positive effect on the unsteady gait created by MS?
There is not. The only, again, supplement, or the only vitamin that we really know is really very useful in MS and may actually have an effect on the disease course is vitamin D. Is it going to specifically affect gait or improve gait? Probably not. But in terms of having a beneficial effect in terms of reducing the risk of relapse, perhaps slowing down disease progression, helping to prevent the development of new lesions on the MRI, there's more and more evidence to support those claims. So that would be the only supplement that at this point we have, you know, very clear-cut scientific evidence to point to, and that we would recommend. But I should say that we don't recommend vitamin D alone. Depending upon the type of MS that you may have, you know, we also would recommend the standard medical disease modifying therapies and vitamin D as a supplement to that.
Okay, the next question is from Billy. Please go ahead.
Hi, Pat. I take about 15,000 vitamin D every day, mm-hmm. and I can't get my level above or below 50 to 60. And it seems like you get that much if you're in the sun a lot anyway, as I understand it, so I don't know if I'm that worried about being too high.
Mm-hmm. So vitamin D is, you do get vitamin D from the sunshine, and certain people with there's other factors with the absorption of vitamin D. People who have darker skin have decreased ability to produce vitamin D from sunlight. You know, that might be something you might want to talk to your provider about. It generally speaking, you know, changing over maybe from the vitamin D that you're taking perhaps to maybe a vitamin D3 compound might be a little bit more useful. There also can be certain medications, for example, steroids can impair vitamin D metabolism, so that's something else you might want to discuss with your provider if you're taking steroids regularly or frequently. That could be another factor as well.
Okay, the next question is from Ronald. Please go ahead.
Yes, I don't mean to be difficult, but I have three questions.
Sure.
Since it's water soluble, is B12 too much really that bad? Vitamins versus in food versus supplements, can you comment on that? And anything on creatine?
So with vitamin B12, you're right. I'm going to kind of answer your questions maybe a little bit out of order. Vitamin B12 is a water-soluble vitamin. However, too much, again, of vitamin B12, the liver does have to process it and can cause the liver to work a little bit of overtime. So, you don't want to go overboard. It's something that does need to be monitored. Certainly you can get vitamin B12 through food, and it would be probably more desirable to get vitamin B12 through food rather than through a supplement. So certainly if you are not a vegetarian, people who are vegetarians might have more trouble, or vegans may have more trouble with vitamin B12 deficiency, because a lot of the products that vitamin B12 can be found in are fish, meat, and poultry, and eggs. So these are food products that, again, vegans and vegetarians are not going to take part in. The last part of your question, creatine, there again, no evidence to support its use in MS. You might want to, again, take advantage of those websites and do some searching and, again, educate yourself as to whether or not this is something that you, feel is appropriate for you. And then, again, as I've said to the other callers, discuss it with your provider.
The next question is from Charlotte. Please go ahead.
Yes, Charlotte.
Charlotte, your line is open. Please go ahead with your question. Okay, the next question is from Linda. Please go ahead.
Hello,
hi. Linda.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been taking alpha lipoic acid for several years, just
mm-hmm.
100 milligrams a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I read somewhere where it may or may not help in the course of the disease. They were doing studies on it. They didn't know. And I also take evening primrose, but it's the same deal there. I take 1,300 milligrams a day, and I do think it helps. Because I'm not currently on an MS therapy drug. I've had too many horrible side effects.
Okay.
I just wondered, do you have any kind of comment on the alpha lipoic acid?
There was a lot of information about that recently. There was a study that was done on that quite a number of years ago. I want to say at least maybe 5 years ago. And one of the outcome of that study was that there was possibly a relationship with alpha lipoic acid inhibiting a certain chemical which may be involved with T-cell migration into the central nervous system. So, again, there's been no further studies beyond that. I think that if you want to remain on that, I think that's fine. Again, like I said to the others, I'm always going to put that disclaimer in because I don't know you and I don't want to give you medical advice. Discussing with your provider is always a good idea. At this point in time, to my knowledge, that study that was done was a number of years ago, and there have been no new studies that have been done with that. But certainly, it bears looking at.
Okay, the next question is from Irene. Please go ahead.
Yes, my question was answered before about the flaxseed oil.
Okay.
And you said that it wasn't useful for MS?
Well, there's not been any studies with that in MS. So, you know, certainly it may be useful for other conditions, but at this point there are no, I can't point to any scientific studies with that. It's probably safe to take, but whether or not it's having any impact on the disease itself is unknown at this point.
Okay, the next question is from Zane. Please go ahead. Zane, please go ahead with your question.
I'm not sure. It's Dane. I don't know if I'm the right. It's Dane, not Zane. But
oh, okay. Sorry. It
line?
May have been. Yeah, okay. That's you.
Okay. A vitamin D question again. I see an osteopath in New York, and I'm taking about 25 different vitamins, which is very expensive and exhausting on a daily basis. But he has me taking 25,000 IUs every Sunday, basically four times a month. And I'm wondering if to you that seems like a toxic level. And the other question is about, he told me it was controversial, but he really believes it helps, is rhodiola rosea.
Okay.
And wasn't sure if you had any information on that and what the controversy is or any thoughts on that.
So right. I'm not familiar with the rosea. I'm not familiar with that at all. So I would ask him to, provide you with perhaps some more information, or again, I'll direct you to those websites and you can, familiarize yourself with it. Again, as I've said to the other callers, the internet is a wonderful thing, but you definitely want to be cautious and make sure when you go to websites, these are reputable websites. In terms of the vitamin D, no, it's probably not. I mean, we actually will sometimes do that with our patients as well. Those who have a low vitamin D level, we'll give them very high doses, sometimes doses of 50,000 units. Vitamin D is given in IU or international units. We'll give them doses as high as 50,000 units and have them take that once a week, generally not long term, for maybe several weeks or maybe several months, and then monitor their levels. If their levels are coming up to where we want them, then we'll have them use an over-the-counter supplement. So it's definitely something that you want to keep monitoring. Vitamin D, again, is a fat-soluble vitamin. Side effects are rare, but they can occur. And if the levels become too high, you can run into side effects. One of them, again, can cause issues with too much calcium absorption, which in turn can lead to kidney stones. The levels would have to be very high for that to happen, and even at that, it's still a low percentage. But nevertheless, I think, discussing with your provider and having him or her monitor your blood levels of vitamin D is probably, prudent.
Okay, the next question is from Elizabeth. Please go ahead.
Hi. Actually, we have a couple of questions.
Sure.
And one, I have more secondary, progressive MS. So other than vitamin D, what would you recommend as far as supplements?
Well, generally speaking, what we recommend, and again, you're going to talk to your provider about this, but generally vitamin D and perhaps B12, again, it really is going to be dependent upon what your levels are. Perhaps a good multivitamin is generally what we're going to recommend in terms of supplements. Again, we talked a little bit about cranberry. If that's something that you suffer with, frequent bladder infections, that might be something that may be appropriate. But this is something that, again, would best be discussed with your provider.
The next question is from Mahali. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My question is, what are the websites provided before for information?
I'm sorry, the websites? I'm sorry, say it again.
What are the websites mentioned before for information about what we're talking about?
Right. There are, I don't know, Michelle, are you on the line?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
The outlines, if you did not receive them, you can contact your local chapter, and someone will be more than happy to send it to you.
Okay, the next question is from Nanette. Please go ahead.
Hi. You talk about the immune system stimulation and not wanting to do that. But how do you balance what's good for your general health versus stimulating the immune system and doing what you don't want it to do?
Right. Well, that's a very good question, and it really does require a tricky balancing act. Again, bear in mind what I said before, there is a theoretical risk that, again, I don't have any scientific evidence to support or to prove what I've stated, but there's a theoretical risk that by stimulating the immune system, you could in turn trigger an MS attack. So generally speaking, that's why we don't recommend mega doses of vitamins. Certain vitamins we know, like we spoke about before, vitamin C, vitamin E, these can stimulate the immune system, so we don't recommend mega doses of those. We know that vitamin D, for example, has anti-inflammatory properties, and that can be beneficial in MS, and we have quite a bit of research, a large body of research done with vitamin D and MS, so that's why we're more comfortable recommending that. I hope that kind of answers your question.
Okay, and the next question is from Anthony. Please go ahead.
Yes, one of the questions I want to ask is pertaining to calcium.
Yes.
And should that be one of the supplements that would be a daily intake?
Well, so calcium is very important for bones, and certainly calcium, and we really didn't talk about that, but calcium is a very important mineral. And for those patients, particularly women, who may have issues with osteoporosis, this may be a very important vitamin or very important mineral to supplement with. It's necessary, again, for the health of your bones and your teeth. The best source of calcium is dairy products. Certainly people who have had excessive doses or doses of steroids, that can affect your bone health, so sometimes taking calcium is a good idea with that. Again, calcium can interact with other medications, such as the antacids. We talked a little bit about those. Some of the antibiotics calcium can interact with, some of the medications that's used for the heart. There's a medication called digoxin that's used some people take that for their heart. Calcium can interact with that as well. So generally speaking, an over-the-counter calcium supplement is a good idea, again, particularly with vitamin D, because you need, just backing up a little bit earlier this evening, we talked about the fact that you need vitamin D for the calcium to be absorbed. So if you see an over-the-counter supplement, you'll often see it'll be calcium plus vitamin D.
The next question is from Nicole. Please go ahead.
Hi. What are your thoughts on B12 shots? I've taken those before as a dietitian gimmick, and I found I did have a big burst of energy. But what about investing in B12 shots for if you suffer from extreme fatigue?
Right. Some people do. Right. Some people do have some benefit with that, and certainly, if you do, that's fine. Generally speaking, again, we would recommend, monitoring your levels. But, yes, that's absolutely fine. Again, some people do get some benefit from that, so that's absolutely fine. And some people have more trouble absorbing B12 if they take it in the oral form or the sublingual form, again, that under the tongue, it's like a lozenge. And people can absorb it better with the intramuscular injection versus the lozenge. So that's absolutely fine, sure.
Okay, the next question is from Katrina. Please go ahead.
Yes, you had mentioned that low B12 can impair recovery from a relapse.
Mm-hmm.
If you are currently in a flare, would it make sense to increase your B12, even if you're not sure of your level right now?
Yeah, you could. I mean, I don't think by increasing your B12, it's going to necessarily get you out of the flare any quicker, but certainly it probably would not be harmful. So, yes, again, discuss it with your provider, of course, as with everything, because once again, these medications can also interact with, these vitamins can also interact with medications. But, yeah, it probably is not going to be helpful. It's probably not going to be harmful, excuse me.
The next question is from Jody. Please go ahead. Jody, please go ahead with your question.
My question was about the B12 also. My doctor did prescribe a large dose over an 8-week period, but now that I'm finished with that, I just wanted to know what would be the normal dosage that I should take over the counter.
Right. Well, generally speaking, depending upon what your levels are, if you were taking a high dosage for a period of time, you might want to just take a multivitamin. But probably I'm assuming he or she prescribed the high dose vitamin B12 level, vitamin B12, because your vitamin B12 level was low. So having that level checked, seeing, you know, where you're at, if you're, you know, in the normal range, if you're still below normal, if you're approaching the higher end of normal, is probably a good idea. And then from there, making a decision. Again, generally speaking, about 1,000 micrograms, and I'm saying micrograms, not milligrams, a day is generally considered safe. But, again, checking your level is also a good idea.
The next question is from David. Please go ahead.
Yes. My question is, I take B, C, D, and cranberry. What is the appropriate doses of each of those?
Well, so there again, with the cranberry, there's no clear dosage that is recommended or prescribed. Generally following the label, whether it be one or two tablets per day, is generally all we would recommend. In terms of the vitamin B and C, generally speaking, we don't recommend megadoses of the vitamin C. Vitamin B, it would really depend upon your level. For vitamin B12, generally a dose of about 1,000 micrograms per day is considered safe. And again, in terms of the C, generally speaking, we don't recommend too high of a dose of that, just simply because, again, it can stimulate the immune system. A dose of about 90 to 120 milligrams per day may be within the normal range.
Okay, the last question in queue is from Christine. Please go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering if the additional vitamins found in a B complex have any benefit?
Go ahead. You can.
No, that was it.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't want to jump in. So a B complex is generally going to have several B vitamins in it. It's going to have vitamin B6, B9, and probably B12. What you might want to do is you might want to read the label and see exactly the amounts of each. Probably not a problem to take. Again, we talked a little bit about vitamin B12 being very important in myelin formation. So probably useful and not harmful at all.
And there are no more questions in queue.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. I just wanted to mention that the Society recommends early and ongoing treatment with one of the disease-modifying therapies. And, of course, we encourage people to speak directly with a physician about treatment options. And certainly when you're considering introducing vitamins and supplements into your treatment plan. So on behalf of the MS Society and all our members, we would like to thank Patricia for such a wonderful and informative presentation this evening. Pat, it's a pleasure as always.
Thank you.
We'd also like to thank all of the participants again for joining in on this forum and being such a great audience. So please stay on the line while the operator runs through a quick survey. Thank you so much.
And thank you very much all for calling in. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please remain on the line while we conduct a brief polling session. Please respond to the following statements by replying with the appropriate keystroke. For the first statement, I have increased my knowledge about vitamins and oral supplements. To agree, press 1. To disagree, press 2. Or for no opinion or does not apply, press 3. Again, I have increased my knowledge about vitamins and oral supplements. 1 to agree, 2 to disagree, or 3 for no opinion or does not apply. Polling for this question is now closed. Please hold while we prepare our next question. Okay, and for the next statement, I am more comfortable with the idea of discussing vitamins and or oral supplements with my physician, neurologist, or healthcare team. Press 1 to agree, 2 to disagree, or 3 for no opinion or does not apply. I am more comfortable with the idea of discussing vitamins and or oral supplements with my physician, neurologist, or healthcare team. 1 to agree, 2 to disagree, or 3 for no opinion or does not apply. Polling is now closed for this question. Please hold while we prepare the next question. And for the next statement, I received useful and applicable information. Press 1 to agree, 2 to disagree, or 3 for no opinion or does not apply. I received useful and applicable information. 1 to agree, 2 to disagree, or 3 for no opinion or does not apply. Polling is closed for this question. Please hold while we prepare the next question. For the next question, the speaker was knowledgeable about MS and the use of vitamins and oral supplements. Press 1 to agree, 2 to disagree, or 3 for no opinion or does not apply. The speaker was knowledgeable about MS and the use of vitamins and oral supplements. 1 to agree, 2 to disagree, or 3 for no opinion or does not apply. Polling is closed for this question. Please hold while we prepare the last question. For the last question, I am more likely to register for future teleconferences because I enjoyed learning through this format. Press 1 to agree, 2 to disagree, or 3 for no opinion or does not apply. I am more likely to register for future teleconferences because I enjoyed learning through this format. 1 to agree, 2 to disagree, or 3 for no opinion or does not apply. This concludes our polling session. Thank you all for your participation. You may all disconnect.